9. And here we find the statement, holding to the mystery of faith with a clear conscience. Holding to the mystery of faith with a clear conscience. So far in our last couple of sessions, we have looked at faith as being of the substance of Jesus Christ. And the reason that this faith has to be of the substance of Jesus Christ is so that we as children of God will be able to function in the faith of our God. The faith of our God. Everything that is written in the Bible, there is a reality of Scripture in the Bible that is an expression of God's faith. If you look at Genesis chapter 1 verse 3, when God says, "Let there be light," that is an expression of His faith. And you read that there was light. And when God looked at the light, it was very good. It was good. And so you see that the faith of God manifested, and God also demonstrates that the evidence of faith is good. So there He demonstrates that there is a faith that is good. There is a faith that He has ordained that will stand in His righteousness. If we look at Revelation 21, we see the new heavens and the new earth. And we see John entering into the reality of the faith of God. And John sees the new heavens and the new earth. He sees the bride of the Lamb having the glory of God. And that having the glory of God comes out of the faith that we have realized from God. And so Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. And He is authoring and finishing our faith as the faith of our God. The faith of God given to us that we may become a new creation. A new creation that is able to function in the righteousness of God. So faith has a design to it. And the mystery of faith is to reveal that divine design to faith. Because when we look at what the Bible brings forth as a testament of the creation's rebellion against God, we find that it is in the area of faith that rebellion began. You have seen us take passages from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 14, and you see the angel called Lucifer, who declared that he would be God himself, that he would make himself God. And that is faith gone wrong. And so through Jesus Christ, God is rectifying that fundamental error that is the basis for a new creation. And we are the first fruits to receive, to realize and express this faith that God has given through His Son. The faith that will enable us to become sons of God. The faith that will enable us to break the shackles of sin, sickness, disease, and ultimately death. So we are called to develop this faith in a good conscience. It's very crucial for us to have that conviction in our hearts that faith has a great design behind it. Faith is so crucial to each and every one of us that we must develop that faith so that we become what God wants us to be. If you look at the Bible and you look at Scripture, you will find that God has a purpose for all of us. It's a divine purpose. It's a purpose that He believes will come forth. It is a purpose for which He was willing to give His Son as a sacrifice, so that what He believed in will be able to be communicated into a new creation called man. True man. Man in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. Man in the nature and character of Jesus Christ. Man able to stand in the purposes that God has for him. So in being born again, God has brought us into this great and holy purpose that He has for us. And we must not take this purpose lightly. We must not take the day of small beginnings lightly, because foundations are so crucial to all that God is building. And we are all called to testify that this faith that God has ordained for our lives is going to be the faith that will move mountains. It is going to be the faith that is going to bring forth a new creation. It is going to be a faith that will testify that God is good. That what God has brought forth from each one of us is going to be a proclamation of a great love that has been brought to fulfillment in each one of us uniquely. So faith is something very precious. Faith is at the heart of God's provision. Love is the evidence of that faith realizing its rightful potentials. So if faith developed in us is proclaimed in a testimony of love, we find that that faith is good. That faith can live. That faith can grow. That faith can realize every blessing that God has. That faith can bring forth the potentials of God in us, amongst us, and through us. And the universe that will unveil as we become sons of God will be a beautiful universe. A universe in which there will be no longer sin and death. There will no longer be tears. So we are involved in a war. And at the heart of this war is this battle over faith. What kind of a faith will you bring forth from your life? The seed of Christ has been planted inside of you. The faith of God has been manifested inside of you. That faith of God, God wants to develop in each and every one of us. So as we walk into the things that God has for us, as we choose to live a life that comes from God, as we choose to function by the Holy Spirit, as we choose to live in the name of Jesus, this faith must testify that God is good. This faith must testify that we belong to God. This faith must testify that God has saved us. This faith must testify that there is a joy in our hearts that nothing in the world can compete with. That's the challenge given to us and given to our children. And we are meant to unveil our response to God's goodness in everything that we do. It starts with the little things that we do every day. And God will unveil it to transform the world. It's a great work God has undertaken. It's a great work. So hold fast to this mystery of faith in a good conscience. And God will bring you forth in the substance that is of Jesus Christ. And that's what this new covenant is all about. It's about that substance, that mystery of Christ that God wants to develop inside of you and me. It's not the substance of us trying to be good people in our own efforts. It is us realizing what we can be in and by and through God. What we can do in the strength and power of God. And that's so important that we understand that. Because we are justified by faith. But we are justified by the faith of God being realized in our hearts and proclaimed through our lives. It is not just Abraham having faith in God. It's Abraham having faith in what God has given in his own faith. And what God has given in his own faith has enabled Abraham to be a father of promise. That through Jesus Christ that promise could be brought alive to us. And this is what is important to see. If it had just been the faith of Abraham, it would have died with Abraham. But because it was the faith of God, it transcended the failures of Abraham's own life. And we are able to see the fruit of what God promised Abraham being manifested in us through Jesus Christ. So through Jesus Christ, God has given us a rich inheritance. So it's so important that in your life, that your response to God be to what God has given you in Jesus Christ. Your experience must testify to what God has given to you in Jesus Christ. Because experience that does not testify to God's gift through His Son is experience that will just pass away with time. If you look at your life and you and I look at my life, we will see that there are many things we have experienced in life that are in the past. They are gone. Maybe you were a good sportsman at one time. And you did things in this field that no longer exist. You can't even think of going back and even beginning to do those things that you did. It's gone. Yeah? And so as we grow older, we must understand that there has to be something beyond what we can do of ourselves. As we look at our children, as we look at our grandchildren, as we look at the young people today, we must give them a heritage that must not repeat the same things that we have seen in our own lives. We have seen so many things that we have worked for pass on. They have become irrelevant as we grow older. And as we pass on the baton to a new generation, they must understand that they can't live that same sort of life. They have to discover something that is of the faith of God. Because the faith of God doesn't fail. The faith of God continues. The faith of God gives meaning to Abraham's life. As Abraham stands before God today, he can see what God did in his life, touching generations after generations after generations in the future. He sees the faith of God take his own failures and transfigure those failures into God's testimony for a new creation. And so we realize that if we can communicate the faith of God, we have left an eternal heritage that will continue to grow from generation to generation. That is the responsibility that we have. That's the responsibility that we have. So all of the defeats that we have experienced in the past can be transfigured into a victory if we are willing to understand the lessons of life that God has been trying to teach us, so that we can leave the next generation something that will enable them to see the faith of God and grow in that faith of God, and maybe make the faith of God part and parcel of their own life. Maybe develop that faith of God in their own lives into everything that they become and everything that they do. And they would have brought forth something that no generation before has experienced. I hope you are with me. I think it's an important thing to understand this. How can we leave such a heritage? Very simple. Through things like prayer. Through prayer we can declare things into being. Through the faith of God we can declare things into being that are not. We can see our future generations in the faith of God. We can pray our future generations into being in the faith of God. We can declare that our future generations will serve the Lord our God. Amen. We can declare those things before we go to be with the Lord. We can declare those things and trust the Lord our God to do what we humanly cannot conceive. What human strength cannot conceive. Not where human testimony says that after 2-3 generations, the things we leave behind decay into nothing. The faith of God says otherwise. Right? The faith of God in the life of Abraham is bringing forth results in us. And we do not even know Abraham. We don't even belong to his race. And we have come from idol worshipping nations. Nations that worshipped all kinds of ridiculous things. In spite of all the absurdity of our ancestors, God has brought us forth into a faith and given us a heritage for a future in all eternity. Isn't that amazing? Right? And that is the faith of God. And when you really examine these scriptures and understand the deeper meanings of these scriptures, we are talking about things that are phenomenal. All the wealth of Rockefeller never achieved even an iota of what God is talking about in the life of Abraham. All the wealth of the Fords and the Carnegies and whoever else that has been. All the heritage of the Alexander the Greats and the Caesars of old haven't even begun to be anything like what God did in the life of one old man called Abraham. Took him out of his country at the age of what, 70 plus or something like that. Took him into the middle of nowhere. Abraham believed, and God reckoned it as righteousness because Abraham believed in what God was doing. Abraham believed in what God was saying. He didn't understand what God was going to do. He didn't have a clue of what God intended to do. But we stand hundreds of years later and we see what God did with what he told Abraham. And it is phenomenal. It's a phenomenal thing. And as God declared to Abraham, "You shall be the father of nations," today we all stand with the potential of leading nations forward because we are going to live forever. Right? We are going to live forever in a universe that is going to grow forever. For God is going to do a new thing and he's going to bring it forth, and we are being prepared and being positioned for something awesome. And all this is the faith of our God. And all that God has ordained in his faith, he has opened to us in his precious Son. And he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him will have life eternal," will have a reality in eternity. Whose faith is that? That is God's faith. That's God's faith. And God's faith is what says that you and I are going to live forever. It is God's faith that says that we have got no fear of death. It is God's faith that says that even if we die, we have a future ahead of us. And it's a future that is guaranteed. It's a future that is witnessed in our hearts. We know it is there. And blessed is he who knows that. Because that person has everything. That person has eternity in his heart. That person has something that nothing in the universe can steal from them. That person has something that will stand the test of time. Indeed, we are blessed. Indeed, we are fortunate that God has chosen us and God has saved us and God has broken through all our pride and our foolish ways. God has broken through all our generational junk and given us life. There's so much for us to be grateful for. But gratitude has to be expressed in what we are going to do for the future, because we are building a future. As members of the body of Christ, we are talking about a future that will one day fill the universe that God has created. And it's so important for us to understand. It's so important for us to understand that as we make choices today, we are building a future for our generations in the future. Amen. And it's not merely what money can buy. It is not merely what an education can buy. It is not merely what the accolades of man can buy. This is what the glory of God can buy. This is what the glory of God has purchased for us in his own faith, in his own love. God has chosen to love us. That is what the mystery of faith is based on. God has chosen to believe for us. And in salvation, God is asking us to enter into that great belief that he has. And lo and behold, we have a future. And so we must exercise that future through faith in God. We must exercise that future by making sure that this faith that God is building inside of us is held in a good conscience. That we do not do the crooked thing. That we do not make the foolish mistake of exchanging this priceless faith for some cheap substitute that the world gives. For the passing glories of the world. You know, so many of us have fallen victims to that cheap glory that the world offers. We think that if we can add a few zeros to our bank balance, we have done well. That's not what it's about, because the zeros in the bank balance and the bank itself is not guaranteed it will last very long. There were banks a long time ago. From time immemorial, there has been a banking system. So where are all the banks of the old? Where are the banks of 1,000 years before? What has happened to them? Where have they gone? Where are the countries that were held at one time the wealth of the earth? Where have those countries become? What have those countries become? And so as you look at history, God tells you, this faith that is of man will die. But the faith that is of God, that the Bible speaks of, that the Word of God presents to you and says, choose you this day whether you will live or you will die. Behold, the Word of God is in your mouth and in your heart, that you may choose whether you will live or whether you will die. And as you make those choices, you're making those choices of all those who will follow you. So many of us in the Christian church have chosen to follow the ways of the world. We have chosen to bring the world into the church, and instead of realizing the blessedness of God's promises, we have realized the deadness of the world. And there are so many churches in the world today that are no better than funeral parlors. That's sad. It is sad because we have lost sight of what God is saying in His Word, and we have taken hold of the intellects of man, which do not give anything. The intelligence of man does not stand the test of time. Man's good ideas of 1,000 years are totally irrelevant today. Man's good ideas of 200 years ago are totally irrelevant today. The facts of our education system that were written in our books 50 years ago are no longer in those same books. We studied those books. We sat for examinations. Some of us did very well in them. We thought we had achieved something. And if you have learned something out of it, it is this, that it does not last. So for heaven's sake, don't build the future out of those same silly things that we did. I'm not saying don't get an education. But what I'm saying is, don't think it is the be-all and end-all of life. It is not. It will never be so. No matter how many degrees you get, and no matter how much of wealth you acquire, wealth will never buy you a future. The wealth that God gives, He gives in His Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. What do you think He gave you in the only begotten Son? He gave you the possibility of a pure faith. He gave you a possibility of a holy faith. He gave you a possibility of that faith realizing and bringing into you your life the evidence that is of God's glory and God's greatness. So blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What is that pure heart made out of? It is made out of the substance of God's own faith, because God's faith is good. And when the substance of your heart is made out of the faith of God, you will see God. So Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. All of us sitting here see God. That's why we are here. Some of us may have been born again 1 year ago. It doesn't matter. You are blessed because you see God. See, maturity and growth in the kingdom of God is not about time. It's about what you have done with what God has given you. How you have responded to the faith of God over your life. And it's so important that you respond to God, because every other kind of response will pass away. They may be real for a moment in time, but they will pass away. As parents, we can ask our children to respond to us, but if we are wise parents, we will always ask our children to respond to God. To God first. Putting ourselves, right, under the subjection of God. If we are truly wise, then we will build out of what God has given.
And we will teach our children to see God. We will teach our children to understand that every blessing in our lives is of God. We will teach our children that the joy that we have as husband and wife is not something that was born out of a romance novel. It was birthed out of the hard knocks of life, out of tragedy and pain. It was not birthed out of candlelight dinners and soft music and in some ballroom at some hotel somewhere, right? It was birthed out of having babies and raising them up and sitting through sleepless nights and looking after the children and ferrying them all over the place, right, to make sure that, you know, we gave them their best. Right? Out of all that, God was developing in us a witness of and testimony of love. Love not like the world talks about it. The world talks about love as jumping into somebody's bed, and that is love. The world does not talk about love that perseveres through hardship, love that builds a future, love that gives a heritage. Amen? There's so much for us to appreciate what God has given us. So much for us to look forward to. Even out of the midst of seeming disaster, seeming disappointments in life, God still says, my faith can work through all that. I can still bring something from death to life because I'm God. I am absolutely supreme. I can do what you can't conceive. I can bring out of the ashes of the past a future that is of my glory. And as children of God, we must understand this. This is why we are called to stand in the gap. And we must not give in. We must see the faith of God. We must see the potentials of that faith. And we must pursue the potentials of that faith by speaking forth the future that we want to see out of the scriptures for our own children, for our own grandchildren. So important for us to do that. To take our grandchildren, lay hands on them and open their hearts to what God has opened to you. Right? So you're here, you are listening to the Word of God, you are understanding the Word of God, but you must release that understanding. You can release that through prayer. You can release that through simple lessons of life as you talk with them, as you play with them. So many things we can do and we must do. Because it's so important to do that. So many things we need to do out of the faith of God. So if you're planning to get married, look forward to it. Look forward to it in the Word of God. Look forward to what you can do with what God has put inside of you. Be careful with the choice of your partner, because your partner too must see God. Because it is in seeing God that you can see the life that the Bible talks about, the future that the Bible talks about. Amen. As parents of children, it is more when you look at the spouses of your own children, you need to see something beyond just the fleshly things. So and so has got this and got that and got the other. That's not the criteria. It is whether the person has the treasures of God in his heart. It is whether God has his hand on that person. Those are the criteria you must think about. Because anyone God touches, the faith of God declares him to be a son. The faith of God declares him to be a king. The faith of God declares him to be a priest. The faith of God declares him to be someone who will be able to speak forth things into being. An awesome destiny. The professionals of this world, the successful people of this world will all pass away with time. Look at generations past. It is irrelevant that most of them lived. But what has been redeemed through the blood of the Lamb, what has been redeemed in the faith of God that stands in the blood of Jesus, that stands the test of time. That is a legacy that never ends. But as we look at the Western world, we see so much of that legacy having been rejected, and it's a tragedy.
And we see the tragedy of society breaking apart. We see the tragedy of nations that once ruled the world just decaying before our eyes. Seemingly having wealth, seemingly having powerful armies, but their hearts are empty, their lives are empty. Their streets are unsafe. Their societies are built on nothing of any use. It's all decaying. Why? Because they did not understand what their forefathers had. It wasn't perfect, but what was good in it brought forth awesome treasures. Today they are going after what our forefathers had. And what our forefathers had was a whole bunch of junk. But we have learned something, and we must make sure that what we have in the Lord continues. So hold fast to that faith in a good conscience. Good consciences are born out of the faith of God. So Paul tells something here that we need to understand very clearly in Romans chapter 9, verse 1. Here, Paul describes to us the kind of faith that God wants to develop in our lives. I tell the truth in Christ. You see, there's no truth outside of Christ. So he says very clearly, I tell the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. And this is the kind of faith that God wants to build in you. The faith that is witnessed to by the Holy Spirit. The faith that testifies that you are in Christ, that what you have is in Christ. What is it that you value in your life? Is it of Christ? Is it in Christ? Is it something that God has brought into your life? If it is, you have something that is indestructible. But if you value things that you have attained and achieved in and of yourself, time will eventually teach you that those things don't last. People may say all kinds of wonderful things about you. But when those things pass away, when they become irrelevant, you will also find that the people who told you what a wonderful person you are will also go. And there will be nothing left. Which is why when you see a lot of old people, they look so miserable because they always talk about what could have been and what might have been and what should have been. But those of us who have come into Christ, the what could have beens and what might have been and what should have beens have been translated in the faith of God into a new future. We have made a beginning. And God says that that beginning will manifest a new creation. So Revelation chapter 3 verse 14, Jesus Christ says, I am the Amen, the true and faithful witness, the beginning of the creation of God. That's what you must understand. That's what God has given you. You may say, I am 65 years old and I was born again last year. Great, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Now you have a whole eternity open to you. Before you had nothing. Before the only thing you had was your coffin. Now you have eternity ahead of you. Amen, praise the Lord. There is a new beginning. Amen, praise the Lord. Amen. Right, you have a future, something to celebrate. The world may laugh at us, the world may ridicule us, but we will be around a long time, right? We will always be, right? Praise the Lord. That is what the faith of God is declaring. So when you see the Bible in terms of the faith of God, then you understand that the promise flows out of God, what God believes for us. And what God believes for us has already been put to test for us on the cross. Jesus rose from the dead. Death has been defeated. You have a future. And God is saying, I have already proven that my faith has a future. I've taken my faith and I've worked it in the dimensions of human life, in the dimensions of space and time. And my faith has been proven. My faith has raised the dead. My faith has done miracles. The blind see, the deaf hear, the dumb speak.
the dead arise, those who are held by legions of demons, I just said go and they were gone. I demonstrated to you my gospel. I demonstrated to you the message of my gospel by what I myself have done, by manifesting my life in human terms, putting it to the test for you, and then declaring that that life is true by raising up my son from the dead. So take hold of my faith and walk into the things that I have for you. Walk into those things, for they are real. They will not pass away. So as you raise up children, raise them up in the faith of your God. Always set your hope on what God says in the scriptures. Don't question the scriptures. Always understand that if there's something you don't understand in the scriptures, it is because you don't understand it. You have not received the substance of that understanding. One day God will give you the substance of that understanding. But God has already given you a sufficient proof that His faith works. You have seen dramatic changes in your life. You have seen the manifestation of the seed of God's faith in your own life. You have seen it bring changes into you. Take hold of that tree of life that has been planted in your heart. And live. And make sure those you are responsible for also live. Understand what makes for life. It is so important for you to understand what makes for life, because through prayer we can pray eternal things into being. Yes. You can pray eternal things into being through prayer. If you pray in the faith of God, you can pray eternal things into being. That this book speaks of God's faith. There is a plan to this book. It was not just written with something that is open-ended. It is written with a chapter of human creation being completed. God creates the world that had been destroyed in a war before that. And then God says in Revelation 21, and there are new heavens and the new earth. It is a complete book. And He's saying this is what will be. And if He has already shown you through the pages of the Bible that many things He said beforehand have already been brought to fulfillment. Many personal things that He spoke forth through Abraham and Moses and Ezekiel and Elijah and David have already come alive in your heart. No other religion has got anything like this. They don't even have anything that even begins to be compared like this. They don't. They may say they have. But if you read their scriptures are all a confusion of contradictory things. But the Word of God speaks very clearly. I'm creating a new man. And I'm creating because I am God. And I'm creating because I alone am the Creator, says the Lord. And salvation is inherent to that creative process. And God says, what you have realized is part of that creation. I brought it alive to your heart. You understand that it will be. You don't know how I will do it, but you understand that it can be done. That I can do things in a moment that nobody else can do in entire lifetimes. So what? That's why I gave you the law, says the Lord, so that you can see that if I just gave you a law and asked you to live by the standards of that law, you will fail. But I don't want you to live by the standards of a law. I want you to live by a relationship with me. And all of us who are sitting here have been brought into that relationship. The question, of course, is, do you want to pursue that relationship? So pursue that relationship. Because the faith of God has declared that you will come to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. God believes that. You and I don't comprehend that. We're not even sure what all our heart is. We're not sure what all our mind is. We only use 3% of our brain. If we are smarter than everybody else, we probably use about 5%. That's about it. We don't even know why our brain was created.
Because so much of it, we don't know how it works even. But God created it. And in creating our brain, he has to disprove the theory of evolution. Why would something evolve that you don't even know how to use? How can two cells become a human being with a personality and a character so different from each other? What is in those two seeds? One from a male, one supplied by a woman. Right? What is it in those two seeds that can create a new person? God reproduces over and over again the testament that He is God. We have seen that in our own lives. We have handled our own children. We have seen how uniquely different they are. But so often we see that we destroy those children because we impose on them the faith of man. We don't open them to the faith of God. Because if you open them to the faith of God, those children are going to shine like morning stars. That's what the faith of God says. The faith of God says that the word of God in your heart will become a morning star, right? 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19. If you hold fast to that faith, it will germinate, it will grow, it will become a radiant star. That is what God is saying by His own faith. It is awesome. And you and I are called to be inheritors of such a faith, possessors of such a faith. But we are told that that faith must be lived for the glory of God. That faith must be exercised to hallow our God because He gave us something that is entirely beyond us. Can you see that? Let's read that verse, 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1 verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Until the morning star rises in your hearts. See, God is telling something that is entirely beyond us. He just says, you just take heed of that word. It will germinate, it will grow as a ball of fire, as a ball of pure light. It will manifest a reality that will shine as the stars. The smallest star that we know is our sun, the physical sun. So can you imagine your heart holding something that is described and compared to the sun? And it comes out of the Word of God. What does the Word of God hold? His faith. And His faith can bring forth something like that. A cauldron of fire. The Bible says our God is a consuming fire. So God is talking about something that is of His own faith, something of His own creation. Something that He means to manifest in each one of us. That is the practical reality of the Word of God. Just because we can't see it in our own intelligence and we can't control it in our own intelligence and we cannot appreciate it in our own intelligence doesn't mean it's not real. And this is what you must understand. There are so many things that are inside of us, in our physical being, that human science cannot reproduce. That the engineering in your eye is more complex than all the engineering in the world put together. I'm talking about your eye. And that complex engineering of your eye came out of two seeds. Your capacity to think, your capacity to act, your capacity to laugh, your capacity to do all things came out of that. Amazing. God's word says that He gave us something that is more than just a physical body. He gave us a soul. He's given us a spirit. And He says, I've got things for you that you know nothing of. So I gave you my word. So I gave you my word so that you can, begin to see that I see things in a totally different light. Things are not what as you see them to be. Lazarus was raised from the dead. 4 days dead. Is it 4 days? What would have happened to his body in 4 days of death? And just Jesus Christ saying, Lazarus, come forth. God did something. It's written. He did something that all the science of man doesn't even begin to enter into. It doesn't exist. The science of man doesn't exist in that reality. Doesn't exist in that reality. That is of the faith of God. That's what you must understand. When Jesus walked on water, right? He superseded all of the laws of science that we know. When Moses opened the Red Sea, he superseded all that man knows. Who can stop the waters from flowing? Who can cause them to pile up? So as we look at the Word of God, God is telling us to look at His faith. Don't just be stuck there and say, oh Lord, I can't believe these things. Turn to God and say, oh Lord, enable me to believe. Make me believe. Teach me to see. Teach me to hear. Give me the seeing eye. Create in me the hearing ear. Give me a heart that can respond to you. Change my heart. Circumcise my heart. Remove the junk of this world. Give me a new beginning, Father. I need to live. My children need to live. My grandchildren need to live. My generations need to live, Lord. That's what I want. That's what you want. And that's what I'm asking for. But so many of us spend our time asking for cheap money. And Jesus said very clearly, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. It is so much more important to have a child who knows where he stands than to have a child who turns out to be an educated thief and a cultured robber. Dining in the finest places with a heart like a snake. What do you want a child like that for? No conscience, no nothing. Don't love anything. Everything is a pawn in a big chess game. There are so many people who think like that. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. So the faith of God is a rich heritage. A rich heritage, amazing heritage. Given to you grace upon grace, not by merit. Grace upon grace. See it, confess it, take hold of it. Declare it before God. It will come to pass. It will come to pass as other things have come to pass, which generations before us could not see by the physical eye. That's what this book is testifying of. That's why we should have a great faith, because so many people saw things in shadow form in the Old Testament, thousands of years ago. And those things that they saw in shadow form has come to pass in our lives. Today, we take it for granted to be born again. We don't even think it is such an awesome thing. It is an awesome thing. Moses and Elijah didn't know anything about that. They did not experience God from their inward parts all the time. We just take it for granted. We don't appreciate that the great prophet Elijah, who did things that we can't even conceive of doing, that great prophet Elijah did not have an experience of God like every one of us here has. They did not have the reality of God alive to them like that. We don't have to run to a mountain to hear the voice of God. All we have to do is sit down and quieten ourselves and the voice of God is heard. You never spent decades in a wilderness, sitting down, living amongst rocks and under the sun and away from humanity, becoming a prophet of God? Did you? That all of us can hear the Lord. So when you look at the Bible and you see what Moses and Elijah went through and how easily we have been brought into the realities of God, what is God trying to tell us? That they were raised under the law. And under the law, the criteria was so strict. How many prophets were there? How many people could hear the voice of God? Today we are by the millions. We have the potentials of hearing God. And the tragedy is that so many in the Christian church don't appreciate it. So many in the leadership of the Christian church don't appreciate what they are called to bring forth. What an awesome reality. What an awesome responsibility. What an awesome destiny to lead nations into a destiny in God. And the sad part is that so many in the leadership of the Christian church don't even begin to understand that. That they're so busy playing cheap religion. Sad. That is tragic. But you and I can see. And what we see must be brought into evidence, brethren. It cannot be just an evidence that lies in our hearts. It has to be brought and testified through our lives. It's a battle to do so. It is already written that it will be so. If it's not with us, it will certainly be with our children. If it's not with our children, it will surely be with our children's children. They will realize that potential, but we must lay the seeds. We must lay the right foundations. We must not fall victim to cheap glory. We must not fall victim to cheap grace. We must understand that grace is a treasure. And it's so important that that grace operate in a faith that stands in a good conscience. Good conscience. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let us just read from Romans chapter 8. From verse 31. Let's read this as our communion passage. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Do you know what that means? That no matter who is against us, what they are against us for is only determined in time and space. Do you understand that? Look at your life. There have been people who have stood against you. There have been relatives and friends who have stood against you. There have been colleagues in your offices and in different aspects of your life who have stood against you. And what they stood against you for was real. But as you look back, you see that it all passed away after some time. Batulta. So that's what Paul is saying. So many of us get caught up because there is an obstacle right there standing before us. But there have been so many obstacles in our past. What happened to them? Some of them disappeared without even us thinking about it. Yeah? It has happened over and over and over again. Even when we didn't know the Lord. If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Freely give us all things because of what? Because of his faith and his love for us. Amen. Does God love you? Yes, he does. Does God have faith for you? Yes, he does. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Amen? So we say, Protestant theology says, by faith we are justified. So if God justifies us, by whose faith does he justify us? By his own faith. And so if you and I are justified by the faith of God, we must always understand, if you and I respond to God, we can never fail. It is impossible to fail. We will be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect, because he believes that for us. He believes that we can come to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind and strength. That we will be able to love each other as ourselves. He believes that. That's why he set it up as his law. He believes that you and I can come to rest in him and see him in his glory. That one day we will be able to see God, and no longer will we be in an evolutionary struggle. We will rest in God. Whether we are talented or super talented or untalented, we will rest in God, because God can create in us what we don't have. Amen. Verse 34. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Christ Jesus is raised. For whom? For us. By what? By the faith of God. And the faith of God has been answered in the dimensions of a human being called Jesus Christ. And that faith of God has been elevated to be seated at the right hand of the Father. And in that position, Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of your faith and my faith. How can we fail? Cannot fail. Even if we fail, that failure is only bounded in space and time. It will be reversed. The faith of Jesus Christ will be worked into us, and it will be reversed. We will turn to God and say, Lord, change me. We repent, God will change us, because we have turned to him and drawn from him the faith that sees us beyond our sin. Sees us as sons of God. That's what repentance is based on. We repent because God sees us beyond the process of sin. He sees us as his perfect sons. That's why we can repent, and God says, I will forgive you. I will forgive you, and I will forgive you, and I will forgive you. As long as you keep coming back to me, and from a clear conscience, from a conscience that knows its mistakes, I will redeem you. I will change you. I am able to do that. And every time I forgive you, there will be an element of change that I bring into your heart. And you can check it out. It's true. It's true in every one of us. And every one of us sitting here has experienced it. Praise the Lord. Amazing. This God who works in us. The trouble is, the way God works, it's sometimes very hard to appreciate, because we live in a world where we experience things with our five senses. And because we experience those things in our five senses, our first inclination is always to respond to those five senses. But if you look from deep within you, you will see that God has done amazing things with you and me. Yeah. Who also intercedes for us. So Jesus Christ intercedes for us. In what? In his faith and in his love. So if the faith and love of Jesus is interceding for you, will God answer the faith and love of Jesus? Yes and amen. Yeah. So it's not just about you and me. We are not just justified by our faith. Our faith is just one small part, a tiny link into the faith of God. And Jesus Christ is interceding so that he can mediate the faith of God into us and raise our faith so that it will stand before God, acknowledging God all the time, living by God all the time. It will come to pass. Praise the Lord. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? The gospel that has been preached to us the missionaries who brought that gospel to us from the white man's land. They gave up so much to come and preach the gospel to us. Many of them lost their lives, died of sickness and disease, lost their loved ones, lost their families. Has not God triumphed that we are all sitting here? We are all out of that rich heritage. Missionaries whose names nobody remembers even now. Who came and had one convert in 20 years of ministry. Hello. Who had one convert in 20 years of ministry. So many of them were like that. Huh? Came and became school headmistresses and you know, taught children who never even responded to them, seemingly. And then later on, after they had left school, they responded to them. Right? Isn't that an amazing testimony? So always remember this, when you testify of Jesus Christ, whether in your time of prayer, or whether you're sharing it with somebody, it's a testimony that cannot fail. Somewhere along the line, the seed will germinate. Praise the Lord. Verse 37. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us, because He loved us, with a faith that is unfailing. And so Paul writes, as he realizes this great faith, the evidence of the faith of God, the evidence of his Savior over his life, he then says, For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Nothing. The battle is won. We have not realized it, but it's already won. Because the faith of God sees Revelation 21. Praise the Lord. He sees the bride having the glory of God. It's an amazing statement, you know. The bride having the glory of God. Do you think the bride deserves the glory of God? No. So why do you think the bride is having the glory of God? Because the bride is married to a husband who carries the glory of God. Amen. And that bride is one flesh with him. And in that one flesh tie, which is made of this substance that we are talking about, the bride has the glory of God. So as we celebrate Holy Communion, this is what we are celebrating. The faith of our God that cannot fail. Amen. Aren't we blessed? It takes a little bit to understand why we are blessed and how we are blessed. But once you begin to understand it, and if you keep on listening to it by the Spirit, it will begin inside of you to build in an evidence and a substance that has an evidence that will cause you to see things in a new light. So when you minister to people, whether it's one person, take it seriously. It is God giving you an opportunity to realize the evidence of his faith as he works it through your heart and through your mouth into somebody else's life. Praise the Lord. Amen. So Luke 22, verse 1. Now the feast of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was approaching. Now this is part of the mystery of faith. So we hold fast to the mystery of faith in a good and clean conscience, or a clear conscience. And that clear conscience is bread built out of the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. The Passover stands in the faith of God. And the faith of God declares that we will pass over, so that every one of us will be tabernacled in the secret place of the Most High God under the shadow of the Almighty. If you look at the Jewish calendar, you will find that the calendar of the feast started with a Passover and it was fulfilled in what is called the Feast of the Tabernacles. The Feast of the Tabernacles was celebrated in the seventh month, from the 15th day of the 7th month to the 22nd day of the 7th month, a period of 8 days. 8 means new beginnings. 7 means perfection. On the 10th day of the 7th month was a day called the Day of Atonement. And it was a celebration of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And 10 represents completion. So, can you and I be perfect and complete? Yes. How? That is the atoning power of the blood of the Lamb. So you and I can be perfect because the blood of Jesus Christ expresses God's faith and love over our lives. So 5 days later, on the 15th day, right? 5 means grace. There was an 8-day celebration called the Feast of the Tabernacles. So that you and I will be tabernacled in the secret place of the Most High God. And that's what's happening inside of us. That's what God is building inside of us. And what God is building inside of us is called a Passover. So that Passover was brought into our lives when we were born again. We passed out of the world and the realities of God's heart were open to us. The realities in God's faith were open to us. We were given a hearing ear and a seeing eye. We could hear the things of God. We could begin to see the things of God. And that's why Jesus says, remember me. Because you must understand that what has been given to you has been given to you in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's what we are celebrating prophetically in this Passover celebration. It is called Holy Communion because this Passover results in a communion. But this entire communion is a supernatural process, birthed out of the faith of God and the love of God for you. Awesome. It's a supernatural process. And it is growing on us day by day. As you keep your eyes on the Lord, it is manifesting in us. It is an expression of a faith that is undefeatable. So with that background, now you can understand verse 4:15. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. So in those words, with fervent desire, I have desired, in the New King James Bible. What is Jesus declaring? The faith of God given to us. And he says, I am going to suffer for you. And verse 16 says, for I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Where is the kingdom of God? Inside of you, inside of me, amongst all of us. We may be green in color, blue in color, pink in color, whatever color. The kingdom of God is amongst us. Based on whose faith? Based on the faith of our God. Because it's hard to It's hard for us to figure out how people who think so differently, how diversely different we are from the cultures we have come from, for God to see us becoming one. That's the faith of God. And the reason why that faith will work is because there is a love that powers that faith. So that love that powers that faith is what Jesus is saying. With fervent desire, I have desired to suffer for you. Who will desire to suffer? With fervent desire. That's what sets Jesus Christ apart from everybody else. There are many people who have died for a cause, but no one has died with a fervent desire. Hello? And then when you go to John 17, he says, the Father, the glory that thou hast given me, I have given to them. Who will do that? So that which he paid the price for, Jesus again gives it to us. Now that is agape, unconditional love. That love cannot fail. Do you understand that? That love cannot fail. It cannot fail in your life. Only you can throw it away. But from God's point of view, as far as God is concerned, it cannot fail. It is impossible for it to fail. So don't throw it away. Respond to it. Humble yourself. You need this love. Not just for yourself. You need it for your children. You need it for your family. You need it for your generations. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes." So as far as Jesus is concerned, it's only a question of time before the kingdom of God comes. So you and I must respond to his faith. He's going to give his life because he knows that this kingdom of God is going to come. He's not simply saying something and saying, "Hello, brother, just believe in it," you know. Huh? He's not giving you some hype. He's going to lay his life down for this statement. And he says, "I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes." He's saying many things here. He's saying, "I will come back from the dead and I will drink this cup out of your life. I will drink this cup with you. I am the true vine, ye are the branches, and the branches will bear fruit because I believe it." That's what the Lord is saying. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, so he gave thanks. He gave thanks because he believed that that bread will be multiplied. And so we are all here. We are imperfect people. But in each one of us, the seed of perfection has been birthed. The desire for perfection is already there. The carnal mind still fights it, but there is a part of us that wants it. There is a part of us that has tasted a joy that flows out of God. There is a part of us that no longer responds to dirty jokes. It doesn't even think it's funny. It makes you sick sometimes. There's a part of you that sometimes sees six things on television and you just switch it off and walk away. You would not have done that 10 years ago. But now it hits you. You don't want to see it. You don't want to hear it. You don't want to be a part of it. Something has happened inside of us. The faith of God. The love of God. "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Share the bread. The bread has to be broken in order for it to be shared. Make sure that that bread is of the substance of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the church needs to have as a ministry. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." So in that blood stands the faith. That is an oath that God has sworn. An oath that God has sworn. So the faith of God is given to us as an oath, sworn in blood, as a covenant to be written in your heart, in my heart. It is going to unite us. We may not be able to conceive these things in and of ourselves, because when sometimes we meet each other, we don't like everything that we see of each other. But yet the faith and love of God says that we will become one God, one body. Right? One God, one body under one God, one Lord, one Spirit, one baptism, one faith. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. So as we partake of communion, there's plenty that we are partaking of. We are partaking of what God has given us in the past, and we are partaking of that with thankfulness. We are also partaking of what is going to be brought forth in the future. In us, amongst us, and through us. And we are also partaking of that reality by faith. And what we are partaking of is of the faith of God. We thank you. Father, we bless you and thank you, O God, for these elements of the bread and wine that represent prophetically, Father, an amazing array of promises and blessings in the faith and love of our God.
And all that is represented in these elements through the Word of God by the Holy Spirit is an expression that you have given to us in the testimony of Jesus. We want to thank you for the testimony of Jesus. We want to thank you for what is going to flow out of that testimony in each one of our lives. Your faith will be a river of living water through us, Lord. In fact, your word says rivers of living water. We can't conceive of that because we've seen rivers, Lord. Some of them are pretty big. And it's hard to conceive how there are going to be many rivers of living water, Lord, flowing out of us. But you have spoken it by your faith. And you have said that your word manifested in our hearts is going to become a morning star, Lord. And as we look at your faith and we look at what you can see in us, O Lord, what you can see, O God, as being your achievements with our life, we know that everything that is going to be brought forth from each and every one of us is going to stand, O God, as an awesome testament of your glory and your grace, a testament of your faith and your love. It is a humongous work that you have undertaken with each one of us. And through the conduit of your Son's saving sacrifice, Lord, we are all recipients of your faith and your love. We bless you. So bless and sanctify these elements of the bread and wine, that as we partake, O God, of all that stands as a witness and a testament, O God, in substance and in witness, in your word by the Spirit, Lord, we thank you for what is going to be achieved in us and amongst us as the body of Christ across the world and in the heavenly places, both Jew and Gentile. We bless you for your creation. We bless you for the reality of becoming the bride of the Lamb. We bless you that we are meant to be a blessing because you have faith for that, Lord. We thank you for your faith. In Jesus' name, amen.